The Lord be with you. And with your spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Great crowds accompanied Jesus on his way, and he turned and spoke to them. If any man comes to me without hating his father, mother, wife, children, brothers, sisters, yes, and his own life too, he cannot be my disciple. Anyone who does not carry his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. And indeed, which of you here, intending to build a tower, would not first sit down and work out the cost to see if he had enough to complete it? Otherwise, if he laid the foundation and then found himself unable to finish the work, the onlookers would all start making fun of him and saying, "Here is a man who started to build and was unable to finish." Or again, what king marching to war against another king would not first sit down and consider whether with 10,000 men he could stand up to the other who advanced against him in 20,000. If not, then, while the other king is still a long way off, he would send envoys to sue for peace. So in the same way, none of you can be my disciple unless he gives up all his possessions. The Gospel of the Lord.
Do you look after your possessions well? Can you be a bit neglectful and careless with them? Perhaps you don't know where some of them are. You're probably assuming that I'm asking you about your things, clothes, books, phone, and so on. Back in the time of Jesus and St. Paul, your possessions could have included your slaves as well. How well were you looking after them? Did you know where they were? A large part of the New Testament is made up from letters written by St. Paul. He wrote letters to 7 churches and 3 letters to individual Christians. Paul's letters to Timothy and Titus are his instruction, encouragement, and advice to his loyal followers, to whom he entrusts the care of the newly founded Christian communities. The letter we have heard this morning to Philemon is the shortest of Paul's letters, and we could say it's not very important. But this morning, let's give that letter some careful attention. Paul is writing his letter as an old man to Philemon. And once again, Paul is in prison because of his teaching about Jesus Christ, which is turning the Jewish and Roman world upside down. He is an old revolutionary who is never going to give up on his mission to tell the whole world about God's amazing love revealed to us in Jesus Christ, however much suffering his mission brings him. And Paul spent long years in prison. This prison is probably in Rome, and the date of the letter is likely to be around 61 to 63 after the birth of Jesus. Paul wouldn't have been an old man by our standards, but we think he was put to death by the sword in 67, so the end of his life is fast approaching. Ancient prisons were strangely social places. Friends came and went to look after you. One visitor to Paul has come all the way from Colossae, a city in what is today Turkey. His name is Onesimus. It's not his real name because he is not exactly a human being possessed of full human dignity. He's a slave, and his name is a slave's name. It means useful. He is young Mr. Useful. He is very probably also young Mr. Frightened, because he has run away from his owner in Colossae, and the penalties for runaway slaves were severe. As far as his owner is concerned, Mr. Useful is now Mr. Useless, and useless things get thrown away. We don't know why Mr. Useful has gone from Turkey to Rome to see Paul in his prison, but most probably he had met Paul when he was in Colossae, and when he had converted Useful's master Philemon to Christ. Incidentally, Philemon means affectionate or kind, and it relates to the Greek word for kiss. So with a master called Mr. Nice, Mr. Useful has grounds for hoping that things might, after all, turn out all right. Perhaps Mr. Useful was impressed by Paul when he saw him in his master's house and has come to Rome because he wants to know more about Jesus Christ. While Mr. Useful is visiting Paul in his prison, he becomes truly useful to Paul, who is chained up. So deep does the relationship between the prisoner and the slave become that Paul receives him into the body of Christ. And in that way, Paul becomes Onesimus's father. Now, Paul would like to keep Mr. Useful with him because he loves him as his son, and he has now become useful indeed. His name at last signifies his fundamental identity. But legally, Mr. Useful still belongs to Mr. Nice, and so Paul decides to send him back to Colossae. That return journey would have been terrifying for Mr. Useful. And Paul is clearly worried about what could happen to his newborn son in Christ when he gets back to his master. And that's why he so carefully writes, with his own hand, which is unusual for him, the letter that we are looking at. Paul wants to make sure that Useful is not going to be severely punished or hurt. So he tells Mr. Nice just how much he loves his runaway slave. In our version, he says, "I am sending him back to you, and with him I could say a part of my own self." A part of my own self. Well, that's a rather polite English translation. What Paul actually says is, "I am sending you my splankna, my bowels. He is my innermost core, my life. Without him, I have no life." If you think about it, without our bowels, we are hollow, empty, and dead. All through the Bible, when God and Jesus express their love and concern, they do it not only with the heart, about which we're happy to talk, but with the splankna, the bowels, their inmost being, the part that we find embarrassing. Now that Mr. Useful has been drawn into Christ, he isn't a slave anymore. To both Paul and Mr. Nice, he has become a beloved brother, and that is how the former slave, the former possession, the useful machine, must now be treated. When Paul had written another letter to the church in Colossae, the church to which Mr. Nice belongs, he had said to them, "You have stripped off your old behaviour with your old self, and you have put on a new self, which will progress towards true knowledge the more it is renewed in the image of its creator. And in that image, there's no room for distinction between Greek and Jew, between the circumcised and uncircumcised, or between barbarian and Scythian, or between slave and free. There is only Christ. He is everything, and he is in everything." When I was at school, we used to think that slavery was an evil of places long ago and far away. Sadly, we now know that it is a widespread and present reality. It may not be easy to define slavery, and it's certainly not easy to count slaves, but estimates of the number of slaves in the world today range from about 30 to 40 million people. Most of them are women and children, although here in the United Kingdom, the majority of slaves we know about seem to be poor men who are brought in to do manual work, which they do unpaid and in terror for their own safety and for the safety of their families back home. We may also note the strange situation of surrogacy, where somewhere on the borders of legality, parents and babies can, in effect, be bought and sold. Our letter to Mr. Nice, the letter of an old man in prison about a young man who is on the verge of stepping free from the darkness of slavery into the morning light, is a letter that's addressed to you and me as well. We who like to think we are Mr. or Mrs. Nice. Are we ready to open our eyes and look at the invisible, oppressed people who live in our midst, and can we set them free? St. Paul encourages us. "Well then," he says, "brother, sister, I'm counting on you in the Lord. Set my bowels, my anguish, at rest in Christ. I am writing with complete confidence in your compliance, sure that you are going to do even more than I ask.